Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I invite you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pablo Casals is indisputably one of the greatest cellists the world has ever known. He was born in 1876 and he died in 1973, just short of his 97th birthday. His father was a choir director and a church organist, so he taught Pablo at an early age how to play the piano, the violin, the organ, and he was such a gifted musician that at the age of 6 he gave his first public recital. It wasn't until 11 years old that Pablo Casals heard the cello. There was a group of traveling musicians who came through his community, and when he heard the cello being played, he said, "That's what I want to do. That's what I want to dedicate my life to." And he did. And if you know anything about him, he became world famous, and he hobnobbed and rubbed shoulders with the rich and famous. He also played in some of the most grandiose venues in the world. He played for Queen Victoria in the Crystal Palace in London. He played for Teddy Roosevelt, the President of the United States, in the early 1900s. He made his Carnegie debut in his 20s. He had an original composition called A Hymn to the United Nations, and he played that before the General Assembly in New York City just before his 95th birthday. And he also went back to the White House later, decades later, and he played for John F. Kennedy at a state dinner in the East Room before dignitaries. He was an accomplished musician and human being. And he also was a man who had a sense of humor. In 1957, at the age of 80, he married a 20-year-old named Marta Montanez Martinez. As you may expect, a few eyebrows were raised. And one reporter had the audacity to ask him, did he not think it was a little hazardous to marry somebody 60 years his junior? And his response was, "Well, the way I look at it, if she dies, she dies." A man devotes himself to playing the cello. And well into his 90s, he would practice every day for 4 or 5 hours. And somebody asked him one time, "Why do you practice at this stage in your life for 4 or 5 hours? And his response was, "I have the impression that I'm making some progress." This is a man who said the cello was his life and his love. But sometime in the middle of his life, maybe he was in his 40s or his 50s, some friends from the United States invited him to come and to visit with them. He accepted the invitation. He visited for about a week. During that time, at breakfast one morning, the people asked him, "Would you like to go with us? We're going to go hiking in the woods out west where they live, beautiful vistas." And he said, "Sure, I'll go along." During that hike, he fell. And he had a severe injury to his hand. Now imagine this. The guests are horrified because this is Pablo Casals who plays the cello. His hand is injured. They rushed him to the emergency room. And of course, we know all was well. But somebody asked him after that, "What were you thinking when you were being taken to the hospital?" And Pablo Casals said, "I looked down at my hand and I thought, oh boy, now I don't have to play the cello." This is a man who said the cello was his love. He said it was his life. Do you understand what he meant when he said that? Oh boy, now I don't have to play the cello. But see, what that says to me is you can get tired, worn out, frustrated, at the end of your rope, even when you're doing something you love. You can get tired, fatigued, pressed down. Does anybody here know that feeling? Tired. You know, the words that John read, and I took it easy on him. There's only three verses today. But the words that he read are timeless words. You read those and you're just right there. And that's interesting because sometimes when something is 20, 30, or 50 years old, it's out of style. It's passé. I mean, disco. How many of you are going out disco dancing in the recent past? Not many. All right, one or two, maybe. I don't know. Its time has come and gone. Bell-bottom pants. I know there might be a couple of you who have stashed in the corners of your closet a pair of bell-bottom pants, but they're not there because you're waiting for them to come back into style. They're there for Halloween, right? Because bell-bottoms have come and gone. But when you hear the words of Jesus this morning as read by John, it's just amazing that somebody can stand up and crack open an ancient book on a Sunday morning in 2018 and read words from 2,000 years ago, and they sound like they were written last Wednesday. Or they sound like a commercial that we might hear this afternoon when we're watching TV. Are you tired? Are you beaten down? Are you in need of a rest? Let us help you reconfigure your life. Let us help you recover. And all of a sudden you're leaning in and saying, hey, did you catch that website? What was that phone number? Timeless words. Words that speak to us because we know what Pablo Casals felt. In John's gospel, a few days before Jesus is going to die on the cross, Jesus says something to his disciples, and he says, and maybe you remember this, when I am lifted up from this earth, I will draw all people unto me. That's a reading of great comfort to me because I grew up Baptist, and in the Baptist tradition, there is the feeling that one needs to get out and share your faith. You need to maybe give a tract to somebody. You need to try to introduce somebody to Christ. And there's always that ever-present pressure to do that. And so when I read those words, Jesus saying, when I'm lifted up from this earth, I will draw all people unto myself, it says to me that there's something attractive about Jesus, that there's something inviting. And we've already heard what it is here this morning. Let me read it again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now let me ask you, when you hear those words, to whom is Jesus speaking? Who's the intended audience for those words? It's people who are tired and heavy laden, people who feel a burden. Is that a small group of people? I would put the number at somewhere around 7.6 billion people, which is the current population of Earth. I'd say the people who are tired and worn down and weary are only the people who are breathing at the present moment. That's kind of the way we feel. And it's interesting, when I think about being tired, worn out, heavy laden, as Jesus says in this, I don't necessarily think of somebody who's just received news from the doctor saying it's cancer, or somebody who's had their spouse say, I'm leaving, or somebody who's just come to work and found a pink slip. All of those things weigh heavy on us, but I'm just thinking about the day-to-day things that are repeated like Pablo Casals practicing day after day, that even if we love them, they tend to weigh us down. You know the things I'm talking about. Because you're going to get up tomorrow morning and the alarm clock will go off for many of you. You'll get dressed and you'll go off to work or school. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of this world. Some of you will come up to Confusion Corner tomorrow morning. You know what I'm talking about, that It's a place where Duncan and Ferguson and Thompson Run and a couple of other cow paths meet. There's like an eight corner stop sign there, whatever it is. You'll be waiting there, and it's a busy corner in the early morning because people got places to go. And you'll say, "Ooh, it's my turn next." And then you'll see a car coming up. And you'll look at the woman, and she catches your eye because she has taken the rear view mirror and tilted it down, and she's applying lipstick. And then you're thinking, wow, she's applying lipstick, but her lips are moving. So you figure, well, she's on her Bluetooth. She's talking to somebody. And then you notice, too, that her left arm is back here trying to comfort a crying kid. And as she approaches the stop sign, it's my turn next. She lightly taps the brakes and just soars right on through the stop sign. And you're saying, it was my turn. I was my turn. Do people not know how to take turns? We just go around. Or maybe you'll be going down McKnight Road on your way to work because you work downtown. And you go down McKnight, you merge onto 279, you're heading towards the downtown, you get off at the 7th Street exit, you're going to get into the parking and get to your job. And all of a sudden, and it was just like a flash, somebody comes right up behind you. You're in the right lane, and it's not like you're going slow. You're going a few miles over the speed limit. Yeah, the Parkway North is packed. But this guy's front fender is up against your back bumper, and you probably couldn't get a piece of onion skin paper between the two. And he's scowling at you. And every once in a while, he's beeping the horn. And you're going, I'm going over the speed limit. That's just Monday morning. That's just Monday morning. I love the story. You probably heard the story of the woman whose car breaks down on a busy street, like imagine McKnight Road on a Saturday, and it stalls out, and then she puts it into park and tries to start it, and it won't start it, and it won't. And then a guy behind her starts beeping. Come on, lady, get moving, get that car moving. And she's so frustrated, she gets out of her car, and she goes back to his car, knocks on his window. She said, excuse me, sir, my car just conked out here. I don't know what's wrong with it. I'm trying to get it started. Maybe you can do me a favor. Why don't you go up to my car and get in and see if you can start it? I'll go back to your car here and sit and blow the horn while you do that, okay? Tired. That's what we are. Worn down by just the average day-to-day things that happen to us. And let me say in all seriousness, because I don't want to seem trifling, those are small things. But I want to say as a pastor with 35 years of experience, you and I carry far more burdens than our brothers and sisters know. We all do. And that's why we love these words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I'll give you rest. And I hear those words and I think, oh, Jesus, give me rest. Shortly after we moved here to Pittsburgh, 1990, bought a house in Shaler on Balsam Drive, and somewhere around, I'm going to think April or May, we put up a hummingbird feeder in the backyard. And it was nice. It was four sides. There were four little spouts there for the hummingbirds to come, and they were red because hummingbirds like red. They're attracted to red. And then we noticed that hummingbirds started to appear. Look out there. It wasn't unusual to see one, sometimes two. Once we actually saw four right there around there. And we were filling the hummingbird feeder, it seemed like, almost every day. And then one day, the traffic just dropped off drastically. And my wife said to me, you know, I haven't filled that thing up for a week. Well, what's going on here? So we'd watch. It was right out the window from the kitchen. And what we discovered was there was a bird who would come and get what he needed. I'm figuring it was a male. He would get what he needed, and then he'd fly off to the tree over by our kids' swing set, and he'd watch. And when another bird would come and try to get what they needed, boom, he was right there to drive them off, to keep them away. And I said to my wife one day, this is one stressed out bird. Seriously. He has taken ownership of this feeder, and he has lost his freedom. He is worn out and tired because he's trying to hold on to what he thinks is his. Come unto me, all you who are weary and weighed down, and I'll give you rest. And if we could, we would probably take a piece of poster board and paint those words in beautiful cursive, put a mat on it, frame it, and put it in the living room. But you probably noticed that it's not Matthew 11:28 that we read today. It's Matthew 11:28-30. And verses 28 is comforting. But 29 and 30, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're just reading that, you say to yourself, that doesn't really make sense to me. Because when John asked the kids, what do you do for relaxing? And nobody said, I go get a yoke. None of the kids said that, no. And it's not the first thing that you and I think about. What, I don't need a yoke if I want rest or relief from weariness. I don't know a lot about yokes. There's farming in my genes, but the bug has never bitten me. In fact, I've never seen the bug. Not much of a farmer, but I've been to Nicaragua somewhere around 30 times, and even on the main highways leading to the airport, you can see somebody on an ox cart, and often in the fields, you can see somebody who's got the plow there. It's a crossbar with two U-shaped receptacles on either end, and you fit the head of the ox or the mules through that, and it's equally distributed so that the weight and the effort is shared by two people. So what's Jesus saying? I say that Jesus is saying this, and there's no way to corroborate this because we have the text, but we don't have the intonation. But I think Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not like the burdens we experience in the world, but the yoke of Jesus and the burden of his is shared with him. And it is also a burden that's for the world. You ever had that experience at night when you come to bed and it's all you can do to get to the bed, that you are so bone tired that you fall into bed and your eyelids close and you think to yourself, if I needed to open my eyelids right now, I don't think I could. You ever been that tired that you just fall into bed like that and you're asleep? You've been worn out by something that's happened that day. There is another kind of tiredness, though. Have you ever had the experience of when you come to bed and you feel that tiredness too? It's in your bones, but it's not in your spirit. You are so tired because you've worn yourself out that day by doing something that helps somebody else, just by doing something that you knew was a valuable thing. You poured all your energy and all yourself into it. And so when you go to bed at night, it's a good tired. There is such a thing as a good tired. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. My yoke is a good tired. It's easy. My burden is light. My favorite preacher, William Willimon, told a story one time about a group of Indians, a small tribe that lived in Mississippi, and they lived long ago beside a river with a swift current. And from a young age, they had to teach their children, don't go near the river, because if you fell into the river, the current was such that it would take you downstream and you'd most likely drown. And one day, an invading tribe came, a hostile tribe, to try to take over their territory. And the Indians fought with all their might, but pretty soon they realized their backs were up against the river. And they had two choices, move forward and be slaughtered or cross the river. And so what they did was they gathered together young and old, and the strong in the tribe took the weak and put them on their shoulder. And then they got in to the river, and they made it an amazing discovery. With that added weight on their shoulders, the current did not carry them. They were anchored. They discovered that with that added weight on their shoulders, they could actually walk across the river and be saved. But who would know that by adding weight, by adding a burden, you would actually find salvation? This is what Jesus says. Come unto me, all those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I think he's inviting us to pour ourselves out, to summon the best that's in ourselves for the sisters and brothers in this world, knowing that Christ is right beside us, sharing the yoke. Let's pray together. Lord, if there's one thing we would all agree on in the sanctuary this morning, is that we desire that rest that you speak of this morning. So invite us again into that yoke. Walk with us this week, and indeed throughout the weeks of our life, as we pour ourselves out, all that we are, all that we have, in your kingdom work. In Christ's name, amen.